This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at NorthtownAuto.com.
Last hour of the week here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I'll be back next week in this time slot. You never know. You might hear Zach or Josh a long way if something happens. I know the Bills did sign Khalil Shakir to a contract extension. We haven't heard from him yet, so at some point that could happen as well. But I'll be on here next week, 10 to 12, on WGR. Thanks for hanging with me today. Back from Indianapolis at the NFL Combine. Prior to that, it was a cruise to get some sunshine out in Belize and Costa Maya, Cozumel, Bahamas. That was pretty cool. My buddy Matt Perino, although he went on a little vacay a little before the NFL Combine as well. He joins me on the Wester Hotline, Orlando, right? You guys were in Disney for a little while.
Yeah, we were in Disney World for 5 days, 6 days.
Okay.
And we went to the parks for about 4 days. The last 2 days were park hopper days, and those were those are challenges. Those test the cardio.
No doubt. And how have you mastered doing all of that in one day? Because a couple of days, because there's so much there. Those park hoppers. You almost have to pick and choose what you don't do.
Well, I think part of it is just understanding where everything is, what you want to do in every park. My wife's like an expert, but if you don't know, like talking to somebody that is either a planner or somebody that goes all the time and really knows, I think, sets you up for a great trip.
That sounds like what I just said about my cruise tips. I just did cruise tips with Sal, and I said, know the ship. When you get there, know the ship. It just saves you so much time to know where you're going all the time. Which park is your favorite or your kid's favorite?
My kid's favorite is Magic Kingdom. My favorite is probably Epcot. That's probably the most like adult-friendly park. It's got Guardians of the Galaxy, which is the best ride, in my opinion. And then you could drink around the world. But it's not only just drink around the world. You can eat around the world, too. Ooh, which is really awesome.
No doubt about it. And then you go to Indy, like I did as well. Now, Matt used to cover UFC before he was on the Bills beat here with the NFL. Little did we know you'd be covering some UFC between reporters going on in Indianapolis at the Starbucks, I guess, right?
Yes. I was already, I think, on my plane ride back when that was really starting to break. You know, the insider game, man, like it's big business, I guess. It's big, it's box office.
It is, there's no doubt. Check it out. If anybody doesn't know, it's the second time I've referenced it here. Armando Salguero was on earlier, but you can check out the story. The Starbucks dust up between Ian Rappaport and Jordan Schultz. It was referenced on TNT's Inside the NBA last night. We kind of have a life of its own as it's come about. But in the meantime, a lot of business to be had at the NFL Scouting Combine. Sean McDermott went early because he's on the competition committee. He spoke. Let's rewind all the way to Monday evening and then Brandon Bean on Tuesday afternoon. Give me a big takeaway you took from either or both of the men speaking about the Buffalo Bills.
I think for McDermott, my big takeaway was how aggressive he's been since the end of the season and continues to be when talking about Keon Coleman. And I think, like, part of it is, like, you see some of the rhetoric, what he's saying about him, and that, you know, welcome to the NFL. Like, you learn how to, you know, what it's about, how hard it is, and then you have to respond to that. And I think a lot of people could maybe take away from that maybe he didn't work hard enough. But I just think that he's setting the stage for what the Bills need him to do this offseason. They're coming off of a year in year two for Dalton Kincaid, who I know is a tight end, but was a big-time draft pick for them, who maybe didn't have the kind of second-year impact that they needed him to have for a multitude of reasons. I think they want to try to give Keon Coleman every opportunity to take a big step. And I think setting the expectations from the jump are important. Like, you were a top pick. I know it was the first pick of the second round, but they need him to be one of the top playmakers on their offense, depending on what happens in free agency and the draft. If they don't come out of both of these parts of the year with something significant, Keon Coleman's going to be the guy that you look at the receiver position as somebody that they need to produce. So I think that's what Sean McDermott's doing, and I think it was a little good cop, bad cop, right? Because then Brandon Bean came out the next day and kind of softened it a little bit and said, listen, they believe in him. They think that he's going to rise to the occasion. And it's funny, if you follow Del Fonte, the wide receiver guru trainer, he's already in the lab with him. He trained some of the best wide receivers in the game. I've seen everybody from Hopkins to Jefferson to a couple other guys working with him, and Coleman's working with him right now. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see a very determined Keon Coleman in the spring and the summer.
I like that a lot. Last year, it was a lot of focus on wide receiver, and it still will be depending on what they think about Coleman and maybe Curtis Samuel. But I think the big focus, obviously, has been at defensive tackle and defensive line. Do you get that sense that this is an area where this team is really going to concentrate this offseason?
It has to be. And honestly, I think it has to be in a way that is of their own doing, because Dwayne Carter is the pick last year. That's the first defensive tackle the Bills have drafted since Ed Oliver. And that's just not good enough. That's just not really trying to stock the cupboards with talent at a very premium position, and one that I think the Bills believe is a premium position. I mean, we always talk to them about, you know, where these games are won and where they need to, you know, be. And I think going into last year, I think the idea was probably you had a couple of different pieces. You were bringing back Daquan Jones on a deal, so you had your starters figured out. And I think sometimes teams, when they do have their starters on the roster, maybe don't put as big of a premium on a spot. But, you know, for all intents and purposes, this everybody eats model that the offense had kind of gravitated to, I think probably would have given them the opportunity to go with maybe a Tavondre Swift at that 33 spot, or maybe trade back even further once again to get more draft picks. And you can go and get a wide receiver later, especially with the, you know, the, because it never felt like they needed to come out of that draft with Keon Coleman, right? Like, it felt like they liked him, they liked the spot, they ended up picking him. And I know, like, you know, there's been talk about maybe Josh Allen being a fan and then wanting him from that perspective. But I just think you have to be very careful about when you draft players. And Brandon Bean, since he got here in 2017, he's talked so much about it can't be drafting for need. You have to draft best player available. And I don't know if you can make that argument for Coleman at that spot at 33, especially when Cooper DeJean goes after him. Swift looks like every bit what everybody thought he could be, you know, with the ceiling in year one next to Jeffrey Simmons. Yep. Who knows what that could have meant for Ed Oliver. So, yeah, I think, you know, there's a bunch of defensive tackles that we could talk about in this class. Kenneth Grant out of Michigan, to me, is where the conversation starts, because he's a polarizing guy. Depending on who you talk to in Indianapolis, some people think he can go top 15. Some people think that he might not even be a first rounder, depending on how he tests at the combine this week. So the good thing is defensive tackle is about as packed a position in this draft as there is. So I think the Bills can hit that early, maybe middle rounds, maybe even late rounds a couple of times and come out of this draft with a couple building blocks.
Matt Parrino here on the Wester Hotline. I know that both McDermott and Bean were asked this question, and they didn't directly answer that, but from what you listen to and hear them say, what do you think Von Miller's future is in Buffalo?
I'm at the place now where I just don't think Von Miller is going to be back, and I think it wasn't necessarily even anything that either of them said. I do know that they were both asked about it and neither wanted to really commit to anything. They both, you know, raved about who Von Miller is and what he's been for the team. But I think going into next year, you got to get younger. You got to get, you know, faster. You got to get a little bit more. They're uncomfortable, it feels. And you can, you know, you've been around them just as long as I have. It feels like they're uncomfortable when they have a guy at defensive end that is only going to be on the field for a certain amount of snaps. You can't put him out in every situation. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's the part of it where I would think they'd be okay with moving on from Von. And then the other part of it is, after June 1st, you add $17 million in salary cap space. I don't think any of these big-time trades are happening. I think the standoff is going to continue into the summer for Garrett. And then Crosby, you kind of got to wait and see. Do they get Matthew Stafford? Does that change whether or not he wants to apply any pressure? I think the sweet spot is during the summer or maybe even into the season where the Bills are going to want some cap space to go after one of these players potentially. If it goes ugly and maybe they report late, Crosby or Garrett specifically, mm-hmm. Now you at least have the kind of dollars to take a swing if a swing isn't available to you earlier than that.
Yeah, it's a great point about the post-June 1. And you would save $17 million. You'd cost yourself a little over $6 on the cap each of the next 2 years, which is absorbable. But it's a lot better price than cutting now. And you'd have to take on a pretty significant cap hit this year, even though you would have some savings. No doubt about that. When it comes to McDermott and Bean, some of the things they touched on, you were the one that asked Sean McDermott at the end of the season, do you expect Matthew Smiley back? He said yes. Obviously, things changed. And Sean addressed that, the answer to you, on Monday with us. He said at that time he wanted to evaluate everything. He wanted to take his time. They have since made a change. So kind of your overall thoughts on what you think about what they did and the coaching staff changes, including, obviously, that we know now the strength and conditioning coach, Eric Ciano, being gone.
I think sometimes, like in the immediate aftermath, there's so many things that are on his plate that, you know, evaluating all the players, doing these exit interviews, you know, wrapping things up, you know, all the little, you know, housekeeping items that go into it, that I don't know if you have the kind of time to set your sights outward of the organization at a potential target. So what I think probably happened was, he, at that time, didn't know that a coach at the level of Tabor was going to be available. And he's one of those kind of coaches, from every person that I've talked to, media and otherwise, around the league this past week at the Combine, people think of him as one of the best special teams coordinators in the NFL.
Agreed. Same here, by the way. Everybody, it's amazing. I actually talked to a special teams coordinator on another team who said, wow, I can't believe that guy wasn't in football last year. He's very tough to prepare for.
Right. And then so if you're McDermott and you get wind of the fact that he's kind of fishing around looking to get back into the league, that changes everything. And maybe at the time when he said that, he thought he was bringing back Matthew Smiley. When Tabor became available, everything probably changed for him. And, you know, the Bills, I don't love the fact that it felt like it was status quo at the time because it was such a bad season for the special teams group. I mean, they were 28th in the NFL in DVOA. All of those critical mistakes, the mistakes are one thing, like the playoff game where they fake the punt and get a first down, the blocked punt in the Rams game that was really the difference in that game. But to me, the bigger indictment on Smiley's unit was like the communication blunders and just not being prepared for certain moments. And that to me is like inexcusable, unforgivable, and they had to do something different. And I think McDermott does deserve credit for knowing that, finding the guy that he thinks can make the changes. Tabor to me feels a lot like Cromer did 3 years ago, right? Like nobody was really talking about Aaron Cromer. He was out of football for a year. And then started to, like, you know, talk to some teams maybe about coming back. And that was an absolutely difference-making hire for this offense and this team, what they've done in the run game, what this offensive line has been. When you talk about this era of the Bills going back to 2017, you can't really tell the story and how they've sustained success, I don't think, without mentioning Aaron Cromer.
No doubt. And then Eric Ciano, head strength and conditioning coach, he's out, obviously, 11 years with the organization, I believe it was, but really since Sean's been here, maybe a year after that, he became the head strength and conditioning coach. He's been with the organization for quite a while. Like I said, always a tough move to make. I get the feeling, Matt, and you tell me what you think, if you think I'm right about this or not, but I get the feeling this was much more about the strength than the conditioning and injury part, if that makes sense.
I think that's a great way to look at it. And, I mean, they haven't – another player that they haven't minced words about and what their expectations mm-hmm. are is Dalton Kincaid. And I think that that's a big piece. Now, the funny thing about that is, like, there's that juxtaposition between Kincaid, who's still struggling to do that, but it felt like James Cook really did do that, right? Like, he added size going into his third season. The way that he ran, the weapon that he was in the red zone, like, I don't know if they deserve any of the credit. Maybe they weren't as heavily involved in that. Maybe that was a lot of his off-season stuff away from the building, and they're looking to bring something a little bit more effective into the building. But even still, like, sometimes you need a different voice. You need a different vision. It might not be even that Siano wasn't good or great or however you want to look at it. It's just like, we need something different that maybe, you know, this hasn't been working the last couple of years, specifically with an early round draft pick. Let's bring somebody else in that maybe has a different voice, a different message.
You brought up James Cook. I'm glad you did. I was going to ask you what you thought happens here, because obviously he's been very public, and it was interesting. Brandon Bean said he'd rather keep things in-house, obviously, when it comes to business, but that's not a reflection of what they feel about James personally. He has a right as a grown man to go about his business the way he wants to. The thing that I felt was really most interesting is Brandon Bean made no bones about it. They have their value on James Cook. No matter what he says, the value for them on their side is not changing. It's simply about trying to come together in an agreement.
Yeah, and I think that the one pushback I have, like, I completely support, as somebody that covers NFL football players, their right to chase what they think they're worth, right? Like, that is the whole point of this, is to come into the league, produce, and then try to go out and get as much money as you can. And that's what I think James Cook is kind of setting the stage for. I do think the important piece that we did hear from him, if you're a Bills fan that's been frustrated with the public nature of it, is like, I'm not trying to be a cancer, he said on the Sharp podcast. He's like, I just want what I think that I deserve. And he's just making what he wants known. Now, on the Bills side of things, I'm looking at this like, okay, maybe we don't hand James Cook, you know, all 100 or 90% of the red zone snaps down inside the 5-yard line, and those touchdown numbers change dramatically. And do we think that he can be a 60, 70, 80% of the snaps kind of player? Because those are the kind of guys at the running back position that you're willing to play to pay top dollar, somebody that you're not afraid to take off the field in pass protection situations. That's an area of Cook's game that I think he has to continue to develop. But I think they want him to be a part of things long term. I think that this is a negotiating tactic that players use at all positions, like specifically wide receiver, running back, quarterback. I think Lamar Jackson did it a couple years ago when he stripped his Instagram account of all the Baltimore Raven stuff. Apologies if I'm missing on that and it wasn't him. But it's happened so much, it's mm-hmm. hard to remember who did it and who doesn't. I just think this is part of, like, Agent 101. When you're trying to get market money, these are some of the things that are, like, in the handbook. So I'm not overreacting to it. I think he's going to be on the roster next year. I think he's going to go into a contract year looking to have a big year and cement his status as a top free agent. And if he does become a free agent and the trend in the league continues, he is probably going to get paid. And I think if you're Brandon Bean, you look at it like, that's still a good outcome for us, because we're going to get a nice comp pick for it, likely, and you can go and find a running back in day two, day three, and look to kind of turn this into what it's been the last couple of years with Cook again.
Great stuff, buddy. Appreciate it. Great seeing you, hanging out with you in Indianapolis. Glad you made it home safely. What do you guys got going on with the Shout Podcast?
Great timing. We'll be out at the new Wing Nuts tomorrow night.
All right.
On Genesee Street. It's connected to the Buffalo Airport Hotel, right by the airport. It's our first live Shout podcast there. It's going to be a little bit of a wrapping up the combine week, some draft stuff, and then kind of looking ahead to free agency and maybe some of the targets that we think the Bills could be going after. It's going to be a fun time, 6 to 10 tomorrow night at Wing Nuts on Genesee.
Love it, and I'm sure we'll talk again at some point soon. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Later, brother.
All right, you got it. Matt Parrino right there. You can follow him on X at Matt Parrino. Got a chance to catch up with him today and saw him all week at the combine. Talked with a lot of people from a lot of different markets, national media at the combine, and you heard a lot of those interviews throughout the week here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. One of them we didn't get to yet. We're going to do it right now. A few minutes with Chris Emma. Now, Chris Emma, he's been on this station a lot. He is from our Odyssey sister station, The Score 670 in Chicago. Not only did I ask Chris Emma about the Bears and the draft and the NFL, we also talked a little Blackhawks and what their situation is and Connor Bedard's season. So here's Chris Emma with me from Indianapolis. We'll do this now, then we'll come back. And when I come back at 11:30 with you after that timeout, I got a couple of new documentaries I saw on Netflix I want to share with you. And of course, we'll talk more Bills football. Here's Chris Emma, 670 The Score in Chicago. All right, here with Chris Emma from The Score 670 in Chicago at our Odyssey sister station in Chicago. Always good to catch up with you at the NFL Combine. How's your week been here, and what's kind of your main thing that you're looking for here?
I mean, it's a different week from the Bears' perspective because they've had the number one pick the last 2 years at this point, and so it's been kind of 2 years ago wondering what they were going to do, to whom they would make that deal. Last year was all about the Caleb Williams frenzy, and this was the point at which you're thinking and realizing the Justin Fields thing is over, you're moving on to Caleb. Less drama this year. You know, obviously a really disappointing season for them, but they got a coach they really believe in Ben Johnson, number 10 overall pick. They have the fourth most cap space of any team out there, and they're ready to get aggressive. So right now the focus is honestly a lot more on free agency just because I think they're going to be one of the strongest suitors of any team out there.
Let's talk about Ben Johnson and why they targeted him. Is it specifically, hey, we have Caleb, we need an offensive guy? I mean, there's been a lot of talk the last few years about leaders of men and those kinds of things. What does he bring to the Bears that they liked?
You know, he checks both boxes. He's an offensive innovator and a really strong offensive mind, but he's also a guy who's going to set a standard and a culture. And you know, the Bears fired Matt Eberflus end of November, so you really got to begin the coaching search in earnest at that point. And for Ryan Poles, the GM, he really started doing his due diligence, talking to people around the league. It became clear all along for him that Ben Johnson was going to be that guy. And from my perspective on the reporting side, like, you knew a lot about his offense. You knew a lot about what he's brought to the Lions, how he's reshaped that thing in Detroit. But it was honestly about what's he like as a dude? Like, what's he like as a leader? How is he going to take shape? Because we've seen a lot of offensive innovators who just don't know what the heck they're doing in front of the team. And my understanding through everybody I've talked to, from people in Detroit who've gotten to know him really well, said this is a guy who's going to get on people. He's going to have that smartest guy in the room type presence, but really hold people's feet to the fire in that building. The Bears really need that. Like, they desperately need somebody who's going to step in and guide them the right way. Ryan Poles is now in his fourth year. He's had a lot of struggles with this. He's not, you know, he's led this rebuild. He's had some successes, such as trading away the number one overall pick, getting the haul that ultimately got them Caleb Williams. But he's needed a lot of guidance, and he's made a lot of missteps along the way. I think the best asset for Ben Johnson in terms of the front office is the fact that he's going to challenge Ryan Poles in a way that Ryan Poles has not been challenged. He's going to really hold him and his front office brass accountable. I think you're going to see a complete shift in personnel guided toward what Ben Johnson wants, where Matt Eberflus certainly had a say, but I think it was more, let's cater this to Flus as opposed to Flus pounding the table saying, we need this guy, we need that guy.
All right, Chris Tabor is now the new Bills special teams coordinator. You got a chance to cover Chris, watch him in Chicago for several years. What does he bring as a special teams coordinator to Buffalo?
Great dude. People love him. Like, players love that guy. It's, you want to have a special teams coordinator who players are going to really fight for and believe in. And look, he's a guy who's going to, he knows special teams like the back of his hand. He's been around the league for so many years. This is a really well-respected guy. He's got a great approach, kind of an old-school football coach in a lot of ways. And he's somebody I think he's going to really mesh well with that staff. That's a great fit. That's a really good pickup for the Bills.
Yeah, I mean, the Bills targeted a veteran guy after having two first-timers. And I think that's kind of one of the things that he brings is the veteran, you know, ability to have been in the league for a while, but he also wasn't in the league last year coaching during the new dynamic kickoff. So that's going to be interesting to see, you know, what do you take away from a year away and how you do that? So it'll be interesting to see from him. A guy the Bills fans really loved last year was Roman Dunze. They couldn't obviously be high enough to draft him. How did his rookie year go?
It was a mixed bag in large part because of the inconsistencies around it. And you can say that about every single player on the Bears offense saying, there's more to be desired because of the dysfunction. They had two head coaches, three different men holding the title of offensive coordinator. You had a rookie quarterback trying to figure it out. Rome was part of that. Like, he had a lot of successes, and he showed a lot of potential. I still think he's going to be great. I really do believe that. They just didn't have anything going on in offense where he could really break out, and the stats don't pop the eye. He didn't have that kind of breakthrough rookie season where he's drawing a lot of headlines. He's going to be a really good ball player. He's a great kid. Like, he really checks all the boxes in terms of character. He strikes you right away, has a great presence about him. he and Caleb Williams are really strongly connected. They developed a bond prior to the draft last year. We're working out together. When Caleb got drafted first overall, like, he's going through that immediate cycle after the draft, and somebody told him that night, you just got Rome. He was thrilled. Like, he could not be more excited about that. I think that's going to be a very strong connection. And now with Ben Johnson stepping in, you're going to have an offense that's going to be completely rebuilt, taken down to the studs, as he said, built to cater to the personnel, which is one of Ben Johnson's great characteristics as an offensive mind. He's not a product of any scheme. You're going to have a lot of things built specifically for Caleb Williams, and I think Robert Dunze is going to be a very strong part of those plans.
Before I let you go, I always have to ask a hockey question. You're on in Buffalo radio, right? I mean, yeah, how far away are the Hawks, and is there any concern about Connor Bedard's sophomore season?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not gone well. And it's very similar to what I just said about Caleb Williams, about the dysfunction around him slumping his development. That's the same for Connor Bedard. I mean, the Blackhawks have been such a mess and built so similarly to what the Bears were, where you put this veteran cast around your number one pick who got gifted to you, and then suddenly you're firing the head coach midseason. You got a bunch of veterans who are not really fitting well. The team is one of the worst in football, slash, in this case, hockey. Like, and you're letting down your prodigy here. I think it's going to all come together for the Hawks. They're going to be a lot more aggressive in free agency. I think they see this is the time where you get out of the rebuilding darkness and you try to take that next big step. They're also a team that, like, wants that attention. They're always going to be bottom of the barrel in Chicago's pro sports scene. Like, it's a bandwagon hockey market, frankly. And even when they're great, they sell out the place, but they need to really draw on the rest of the city. I think they're hungry for that kind of attention. I see them having a very strong offseason. It starts with getting the right head coach and getting Bedard's development back on track, but there's no reason why they shouldn't be, just like the Bears, one of the most aggressive teams this offseason.
Chris Emma, The Score, our Odyssey sister station in Chicago. Always great to catch up with you, buddy.
Take care,
Thanks
buddy.
A lot for talking.
Absolutely.
All right, always good to talk. Chris Emma knows his stuff out there in Chicago, our Odyssey sister station, 670. In the meantime, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, I really like kind of like shorter in and out kind of shows and series that I can get to when I'm traveling. I had a couple of them I watched, and might kind of surprise you the kind of genre it was. I want to recommend to you when we come back. And of course, anything you want on the Buffalo Bills, the NFL draft, it's all on the table on the last half hour of the week, coming up next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The March to Spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
No, it's extremely important to keep your mental in the best place because that's where my game is played. My game's not played for my legs and not even just my arm. So I know longevity to all-time greats. What's Tom Brady's best trait? His mental. He's able to think. So if you have those traits of greatness and I know where I'm heading, then why wouldn't the franchise pick me? You got the ultimate cheat code.
Just typing something out here. Give me 1 second. So I have to finish this tweet in real time. Can you explain to everybody what that was?
That was Shedeur Sanders in one of his many quotable quotes from his media availability today at the Combine. He has said a lot of stuff today. Other ones include, franchises should expect to change the culture if you draft me. They should expect to win. History repeats itself. We've changed programs before. We'll do it again. He's talking just like his dad. It's going to be interesting to see if those kind of comments, though, like turn teams off, right? Like, I feel like there's going to be some teams out there that go, yeah, no, I don't want anything about this guy. And there's other teams that are going to be fired up about it.
Okay, so, yeah, his dad, by the way, obviously one of the most, like, confident slash cocky people. Everybody was unbelievable.
When did he go from confidence to cockiness?
Well, it's a good question. I think that's a different subjective scale for most people. But I would say it this way, too, that, you know, or how about this? I was thinking about this the other day about his dad. All this stuff about Travis Hunter. What's he going to play? There are so many guys, I think, actually, who could have played both receiver and DB in the NFL. Deion's one of them. But he didn't. He was a DB. He was incredible. He's one of the greatest of all time at that position. You know, tell me Deion Sanders could have played wide receiver? I guarantee he could have. He actually didn't even like to hit people. He made business decisions, he said. He'd rather not get hit. But I think that could be one of them. All right, I'm actually about to tweet out something here. Bills related. Not a big deal, but just something newsworthy. I can confirm through a league source the Bills are targeting Turner West for a special teams coaching role. Turner West is currently the Georgia Southern's special teams coordinator. Okay, hold on. I'm going to put this out now. And it was first reported by John Bryce of footballscoop.com. There we go. So there you have it. League source confirms Bills are targeting Turner West for a special teams coaching role. First reported by John Bryce of Football Scoop. West is currently Georgia Southern's special teams coordinator. So there you go. Looks like that's going to be an addition to the staff. So I wonder if that means for Cody Harkey, who is actually the Bills' current assistant special teams coach, because we know Matthew Smiley was the main special teams coordinator, and he is no longer. Cody Harkey, by the way, always like having him on staff. His dad is Mike Harkey, the Yankees bullpen coach. That's why I always like having Cody Harkey. And obviously, he's a good dude, but pretty cool to say, oh, his dad's the Yankees bullpen coach, which is pretty cool. So there you go. A little bit of news for you today from the Bills. Do you like watching, like, you have Netflix? You have Netflix? Right. Who doesn't, right, these days? I mean, price keeps going up no matter what. What do you like to watch? You look for, when you go there, do you look for movies? Do you look for docs? Do you look for shows, series? What do you like?
I usually like the movies. I mean, not always the Netflix original movies, but, like, just they have a good selection of movies and stuff. Some of the shows are okay. I actually recently got into some of the documentaries, too. I watched the Hope Solo documentary that Netflix has, and that is a really, really good story. Like, just hearing all the drama and rumors and everything that happened in that story is just, I remember it all happening at the time, and then there was, like, nothing years after. And now there's all this special about it. It's one of my favorite specials I've ever watched on sports. But they have a bunch of those on there. They have the Manti Te'o one. That one was really good, too. But Netflix is kind of like, it's hit or miss for me, because sometimes I feel like you see the same stuff all the time and I want like that freshness. And sometimes I just want like, I want to watch a Disney movie, right? And I just go to Disney. So it's up and down for me.
I could do a movie. If it's a good movie, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. I actually like, though, short, like, miniseries, mini docs a lot of times.
Ooh.
Because
yeah, those are
if
good
you're
too.
Traveling especially,
mm-hmm.
you watch it on a plane flight, and then, okay, you know that it's short enough, an episode,
right.
I'll watch an episode later, right?
Yeah,
I can get to another episode later. I can divide it up without stopping in the middle of it, if that makes sense, mm-hmm. right? Everything's kind of divided up. At the same time, it's not too long. I don't like 10 episodes.
Have you ever
seen
10
seasons.
Band of Brothers? Band of Brothers, HBO one?
Yeah, I mean, I have never watched Band of Brothers, but Band of Brothers is a series, though.
Kind of, yeah. It's a one-season series.
Oh, how many episodes?
It's a miniseries.
I didn't realize that.
It's 8 to 10,
okay,
I think.
That's a little too much for me.
Yeah.
But it's okay. If it's really good, I know it's great.
It is really good.
Okay, so a couple things I started watching lately. One goes completely against it, but I finally started watching Cobra Kai, and it's amazing. Cobra Kai is amazing. It's super cheesy, but it's great. I say cheesy because if you watched Karate Kid, you have to kind of watch Karate Kid. And, you know, you'll know a little bit more about it. I got Max into watching Cobra Kai with me now. It's a little adult at times. Like, I got to be careful there. But I got to kind of go back. He's actually watched Karate Kid, the movie. I like that. But that's a little different. That's now seasons long, and now I'm invested. But every episode's only a half hour. On this trip, though, I'm like, I need something good on Netflix. I went, and I saw something pop up. I'm like, this looks a little cool. Because it's two episodes. It's called, ready? The Search for Instagram's Worst Con Artist.
Ooh. Oh, wait. I've seen some of
Belle
those.
Belle Gibson. Have you heard about this girl?
I haven't seen this one, but Netflix has a lot of these where it's like
yes.
a 2 to 3 episode thing.
Yes.
And it's about, like my girlfriend just watched one about Gabby Petito, the girl that
Yeah, that's up now. And by the way, Gabby Petito, the girl who was murdered, she lived right in the town near where we used to live in Florida. So that area I'm very familiar with. And then when he was found was not too far away and all of that. Yes, that's the same thing. Something like this. This one's 2 episodes. I think that's 3. This is called The Search for Instagram's Worst Con Artist. This is about a girl named Belle Gibson. And Belle Gibson was, I learned this story watching this. It was just amazing to me and crazy. She went on social media and Instagram and basically told people she had a brain tumor, a terminal brain tumor, and that she was using natural foods to stay healthy instead of traditional medicine. And she was like the most healthiest person ever. And look at this, what I'm doing. And the foods were actually, she was a good cook and she knew recipes and she'd have different recipes coming out. And she gained millions of followers for, oh my God, how is this person doing this? It's amazing. I need to start eating healthier. I need to follow what she's doing. But people who had cancer were like, oh, I'm going to do this instead and put my faith into something like that. It was all a lie. She didn't have brain cancer at all. And she conned all these people, and then she sold a cookbook and made millions of dollars.
Wow.
And did charity functions. The money never went to the charities. It's a crazy story. This is in Australia, and it wasn't too long ago. So anyway, this is called The Search for Instagram's Worst Con Artist. And it's about Belle Gibson. It's a 2-part series. So as I'm watching this, of course, you know how they have the thing. Because you watch this, you might like this, right? The other one that came up was called Puppet Master. It's a great
yeah, some of the names are really
title,
good.
Right? The Puppet Master is very similar on Instagram. On Netflix. Now, this one is three-part series. And this is about a guy who in England was a con artist. It goes back to the 90s where he convinced this other guy at this school he was in England that he was an MI5 agent. And this was during the height of the Irish Republican Army and war that was basically going on and terrorist attacks. And they said, the IRA is after you and the people in your house, and you have to leave and you have to get out. And he kind of convinced them to go and leave, this guy and these two girls. And along the way, he kind of started controlling their entire lives because he told them they were in such danger. And then he started having them get money from their parents, draining their own bank accounts, and they stayed on the run. And for one, he lasted 10 years with this person on the run and going. And in another instance, he literally befriended a woman and got this woman eventually to cut off only even with her own kids, which the documentary starts with their kids, her kids, these two kids saying, we miss our mom. We haven't seen her in 10 years. And she basically cut off because she went with this con artist, and we know, and she even knows who he is. And it's incredible. And this guy's name was, Danny, hold on, Puppet Master Netflix. I got to remember who the thing was about. British docuseries. And I can't remember the exact name of the guy now that I watched the darn things. I want to say his name. It's like a hyphenated name. And he went by a bunch of different kinds of names. But either way, go watch it. If you have any time, go watch. This one says, in this harrowing docuseries, a cruel con man masquerading as a British spy manipulates and steals from his victims, leaving ruined families in his wake. And again, it sounds depressing and terrible. I know. And my wife says to me, I watch murder mysteries. Sorry. I like murder mysteries like Dateline and 48 Hours. My wife always says, why do you watch stuff like that? And you know what? You know why I watch things like that? I figured it out. I think I'm a good person in life. And I think I try to treat people well. And I want to know what makes people evil like that. Like that kind of evil, right? And I don't mean like truly evil. Like these people are evil. They do bad things. Like what? Why do people get like that? What makes people like that? I think I want to gain insight into that because I don't know. I mean, I can be a trusting person. I see the good in everybody. Like when you see that, like what makes people like that? That's what interests me in genres like that. But I do like these little short series. I've watched a few over the years of missing people and murders in Manhattan and, you know, crime series and documentaries. So there's a couple for you. One is called The Puppet Master. One is called The Search for Instagram's Worst Con Artist. Check them out on Netflix if you can. I'm sure you have a few more. And you can tweet me, @SalSports, if you have any cool recommendations for something like that. We'll take a time out. We'll come back. We'll wrap up your Friday here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Isaiah Bond says he's going to break Xavier Worthy's record. He's a wide receiver also at Texas, by the way. Imagine all that speed they had, right? Plus, who was the other guy? Who's the Colts guy they drafted last year from Texas? The receiver? Oh, my gosh. Now I'm drawing a blank. Come on. You're supposed to help me here, pal.
I'm drawing a blank, too. He picked his number because of how many teams passed on him.
Yes, here we go. Well, you had Neighbors. Then you had Roma Dunze. Then you had... everybody's going to say, Sal, come on. How can you not remember? Hey, it's been a long week. Just came back from vacation, all right?
I can picture him,
Xavier
too.
Adonai Mitchell.
Oh, Adonai Mitchell.
Adonai Mitchell, that's right. Adonai Mitchell, sorry. So now we have another one, Isaiah Bond, who says he says, I'm going to break the record. He literally just declared, he called his shot. We'll see if that happens.
Does it tank his draft stock if he doesn't?
No.
No?
Nope. I looked. Mel Kiper has him as the 10th wide receiver on his big board. Xavier Worthy was considered top five by most as a pick. He's 10th. We have, let's see, other ones here who are, oh, by the way, thank you very much for these suggestions. Peter tweets in @SalSports, getting connected with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Peter tweets in, Dancing for the Devil, the 7 million TikTok cult, the 7M, I think it means million, 7M TikTok cult is riveting. Only three parts. I love that. That's cool. Hey, Sal. Josh says, have to check out this amazing show called Severance on Apple Plus. I've heard that, and I've heard it's very good. I think Pat Moran said The Pit or something is really good as well. There's some really good ones. So yeah, I'll be doing some more traveling coming up because we have NFL owners meetings, and I'll be going back to Florida a little bit for a few days in April. So it's that time of year where that happens, so I always need these things to kind of get me going and have some nice things to watch. Cobra Kai is going to be, it's too many seasons, but I got to keep going now. I'm in season three. It's like six seasons or something like that. So I'll be watching that as well. 803-0550 is the number to call if you want to. But guess what? You'll have to do that on Monday. I'll be back on Monday. And we'll talk a little bit more about what we see this weekend from the NFL and the Combine and some of these guys working out. At least we're not in the quarterback market to watch Bills and pay attention to what's going on there. That happens this weekend. We'll have running backs are interesting. Whatever you think about the James Cook situation. I wonder, too, if we'll get any more extensions for the Bills. Khalil Shakir is done. Brandon Bean said last week, you can't talk to everybody at once, but you kind of get a feel for what guys are, their agents are thinking, and then you kind of pare it down and you work on, and then that's when Khalil Shakir started to kind of trend in the right direction. As he says. Okay. Have a great weekend, everybody. We're going to be back on Monday with a lot more here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We'll pay attention to the Combine. Of course, the Sabres, they're back in action tomorrow, home and home against the Canadiens, Saturday and Monday. And that's all, of course, here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Thanks a lot to Josh, Derek, and Zach for hosting, filling in all week. You'll hear from them again next week, but I'll be back on Monday here at 10 a.m.